You know, one of the biggest core values that I've always taught my try to teach my kids is do unto others as you would unto you. That was something my mom and dad always instilled in me as a little kid.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by Belcampo. Building health and immunity is more important now than ever. And it all starts with what you put on your plate, and how it's raised matters as well. My family and I have been doing a lot more cooking together. It's a great way to bond. And we have found that when you use quality meats and foods, you can definitely taste it in your meals. Belcampo is a pioneer of hyper-sustainable, organic, grass-fed, certified, humane meats, broths, and jerkies. The company is on a mission to revolutionize the meat industry for the well-being of the people, the planet, and animals by farming meat the right way. With certified, humane, regenerative, and climate-positive practices, which means it's better for you, the planet, and the animal. Belcampo animals also grow more slowly as nature intended. This is a difference you can see and taste compared to conventional meats. That's why I chose Belcampo over other brands. The way Belcampo raises its animals isn't only better for your health, it has a positive impact on the environment. Belcampo practices regenerative agriculture, which means it's climate positive and carbon negative. So you can feel good about what you're eating. I'm teaming up with Belcampo to give first-time customers 20% off their order. Make sure you go to belcampo.com/artoffatherhood for 20% off your first order. Hey everyone, Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast. And on the line, I'm very happy to have Howie D from the Backstreet Boys. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me. Howie, how you doing, sir?
Hey, my pleasure, Art. Thank you very much for taking the time as well.
Yeah, man. First off, I got to say congratulations on your new album, Which One Am I? I think this is a family album, and the first single called No Hablo Español is out. My kids and I checked the video. We really enjoyed it. Talk a little bit about the album and what was the inspiration behind it.
Oh, well, first of all, thank you very much for you and your kids checking it out. Yeah, no, actually, this album, believe it or not, I started working on it about 5 years ago. It was around the time that my son James was around 5 years old. I remember just trying to connect with him with the music that was out there, and I just really had a hard time, you know, just finding stuff that I could enjoy and connect with him and have a bonding. So I was like, there's got to be better music that can be out there for not only for kids, but also for adults. I remember also, you know, looking out at our audience, and I'm seeing all these, for Backstreet Boys, I'm seeing all these young, you know, teenagers that have grown up with us that now have kids as well. And I'm like, well, why should, you know, there should be something that, you know, our fans, previous generations and new generations to listen to with their kids and have a good, create new memories. And so I started working on this album. I went with two writers and producers out of New York. As we were discussing on what we wanted to talk about, a lot of it came from like my early childhood. The kids can relate to even nowadays, you know, certain things like, you know, worrying and like Monsters in My Head is about, you know, having like, you know, nightmares as a little kid, and Pollyanna's Shadow is being in the shadow of an older brother or sister. For me, particularly with my sister Pollyanna, and Small Town Blues kind of being, you know, short and definitely, you know, the first single, No Hablo Español, was something I went through as a little kid with people just looking at me and automatically just assuming that I was Spanish and, you know, trying to speak to me Spanish. And unfortunately, as a little kid, I didn't grow up learning Spanish, so it was always No Hablo Español.
Yeah.
So, and as we were doing this, believe it or not, it's kind of crazy. This CD here has inspired a musical that's come out from it. That's going to be premiering this next February in Omaha, Nebraska at the Rose Theater.
Awesome.
And so I'm really excited. It's been a 5 years of, you know, making and whirlwind, but labor of love. And I'm glad to start seeing things finally come together now and out.
Yeah, man. So another congratulations is in order for the play that's coming on. That's fantastic. And I love the fact that you said, like, you know, kind of bridging generations, because I think one of the things, as you well know, preaching the choir right here, this music is a great way to bond generations and kind of show them, hey, when I was your age, this is what I was listening to. And my wife and I downloaded Don't Go Breaking My Heart from, you know, your new album, like with the Backstreet Boys, because like, My daughters loved it. We loved it because, of course, you know, we grew up listening to you guys as well. And so I think that's fantastic. One of the cool things that I thought about watching this video is that you had your son in this video for No Hablo Español. How fun was that? And what kind of advice did you give him when you were working with James?
Oh, it was so much fun. Definitely. I mean, to see my, you know, he's actually the oldest of my two boys, kind of following in his daddy's footsteps and kind of, you know, the bug has bitten him in regards to being entertainment. He loves, you know, watching daddy get out there and perform and travel the world. And I think he's, like I say, it's definitely bitten him. And he's, you know, he's in dance classes. He takes voice lessons from my older sister, Pollyanna, who's a singer as well. It was just so much fun, actually. The idea came together. Actually, one of my managers came to me with the idea. He's like, what about having your son play you? And I was like, this is brilliant. And then actually my mom is in the video as well, believe it or not. That's grandma. And nice. Going to grandma's house. And so it was just a really cool experience. I wasn't initially planning on being in the video, but then they made me the Carlos Santana wannabe guitar player in the video. And so it was cool though. But my son was so great. I mean, he's such a little ham. You know, I was always, you know, kind of like guiding him along and kind of like, you know, kind of giving him inspirations of what to think about when he was singing these lines and stuff like that. And he was great. I think I can see that he wants to do what daddy does and he loves it.
Nice, man. Thanks so much for sharing that. And I'm always, always intrigued by artists like yourself, musicians, and the creative process. Talk a little bit about, because I know you said this was kind of like a 5-year plan in the making in a project, but talk a little bit about, of course, Backstreet Boy, a lot of stuff on the plate, you know, work and family. But for you, for this album, for the solo album, what was the creative process like for you? Because I know you had, like, you know, you were explaining the different songs and what they meant, but do you kind of sit down at one time, like, all right, let me try and get this stuff out? Or do you kind of, when inspiration happens, if you're available at that time, like, all right, I got an idea, let me kind of roll with what I'm thinking about?
Well, this album, like I say, started about 5 years ago. And initially, it was just meant to be just a CD. And then, like I say, as we were writing, we're like, wow, this is really, you know, a story that could be almost turned into a musical. And the musical actually has a lot of other music that's not on the CD here, but all these songs inspire the music. And how it actually just... It started, believe it or not, with me getting to know these other two writers over the phone. And, you know, it's like almost like when you're doing any kind of writing session, normally the first bit of time is just getting to know each other. You're almost like creating like a relationship and you're almost like dating, kind of taking the person out and stuff like that. So for me, I always joke about it. It's like a therapy session because they were just asking me all about my life and what I went through and all these things. And then by the time we got done talking, getting to know each other, I remember discussing with him saying, I said, hey, you know, what's our inspiration here? What do you think we should write about? He's like, your life right there. He's like, you actually have a lot of great things that kids can relate to even nowadays. And with those issues that I was telling you about. And so I actually went up to New York and we wrote the whole record in a week. Wow. Pretty much we just kept on banging out. By saying that, if we didn't finish a complete song, you know, lyric-wise, we at least had, like, melodies. And you know, we kind of knew, like, we wanted to get, like, a lot of different flavors of sound. You know, like, the Monsters in My Head has kind of like a Lenny Kravitz kind of a vibe to it. Shy is kind of like a doo-wop, like a Jersey Boys. Worrying has kind of like a reggae feel to it. You know, School Bell Tango has a tango feel, and Small Time Blues is kind of like a blues feel. So we actually jammed out all the melodies on all the songs music-wise. And then thank God through modern technology nowadays with Skype and just being able to send stuff over the internet to each other, we were able to pretty much get the whole record written within, I'd say, probably like about 3 weeks. And then next thing you know, I went out to New York and we recorded everything in 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah. And then actually, like I said, then at that point, the gears kind of shifted and went towards doing the musical. And then we spent about 4 years on that.
Kind of going with that too, like, it's not, I don't want to ask you like your favorite track, because that's like asking you which is like your favorite kid, and of course parents are like, I'm not answering that. But talk about, like, was there a track on the album that from the start, the initial concept to the finalization of the, when you wrapped up that one song, did it like surprise you, or there were one that totally kind of threw you for a loop while you were doing this? You're like, man, I didn't think it was going to go this direction, but I'm glad it did because I like the way it came out.
Actually, probably the song Monsters in My Head.
Okay.
Monsters in My Head and Worry are probably like the two that really stuck out a lot to me. Monsters in My Head actually was inspired by my son, my oldest son, James, waking up one morning at 5 years old and said, Dad, I had these monsters in my head all night last night. And I was like, he was understanding, learning that, you know, at the time, you know, explained to him the concept of these are dreams and they're not real and stuff like that. And I was like, oh my God, this is a great title here, Monsters in My Head. And so then I went with him, with my writers, and we started playing around with it. And next thing you know, we're like, wow, this has like a kind of like a cool, spooky, you know, kind of eerie, kind of just out there. And then when we got in the studio and we had this guitar player that just was able to shred it on the guitar, and it totally took it into a vibe of like a Lenny Kravitz kind of a song. And I was like, this is cool. You know, I was like, wow, this is like, I feel like, you know, a lot of the songs, you know, they're very, you know, they're kind of campy. They're not obviously a normal Backstreet Boys song at all. But this one here had like a lot of great melodies that I was just like, oh my God, with the other words, this could totally be another song that would totally be something I would be, you know, requesting at the radio station. And so I was glad to be able to have current sounds and not just limit, you know, the idea of what a children's family record should be like, and, you know, almost like push the boundaries. And I think that's why I think people I've been talking with, they really like it, because it's not just, I think it's also think about when you know somebody's saying they're going to write a children's record, they're thinking about lullabies and the wheels on the bus go round and round, and it's totally not that at all.
No, no doubt, man. This is, I can't wait to listen to the whole album. So Howie, take me back to when you found out you're going to be a dad. What was kind of going through your mind, sir?
The first initial shock was, oh, wow, here we go. but I always, as a young kid, wanted to have a wife and kids. And I came from a family of five brothers and sisters. So I grew up all around, you know, big family, and always knew that I wanted to have kids. So when me and my wife finally at the age of 35 decided that we were going to take that plunge, I was gung ho ready for it. You know, we, as much as you can be, I think you can never be 100% ready for, you know, being a parent. It just kind of, you just kind of go along with it and you kind of learn as you go. And, I remember James, our first one, he actually came early. He was a little preemie, believe it or not. He came 7 weeks almost early.
Oh, wow.
And we were definitely not prepared for that. But the hospital was so great. We had him at Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles. And actually looking at it, he had to be there for 3 weeks before we were able to take him home. But it was kind of indirectly in a weird way a blessing that we were able to have the help of the hospital and learn from these experts and, you know, just health stuff to deal with for kids. And then, but I embraced being a father. You know, it's my wife and I, she knew me. She used to work with us. So she knows what it's like to, my schedule can get ramped up and get crazy when daddy has to go to work. But then when I come back home, I am full on daddy. I change my gears. I put on a different hat. I'm the bus driver at school in the morning. I get up with the kids at 6 o'clock in the morning and take them off to school. And, you know, take, like I say, take James to dance or tennis lessons or play basketball outside with Holden. There's a little sports one of the two. And, you know, I really try to be, you know, as much quality time as I can when I'm there with them. And they're just very supportive. They know that daddy, you know, they share daddy with the rest of the world and they understand that. Just lucky that I have an unbelievable wife that's a rock and pretty much is the one that runs the ship back home and keeps everything afloat.
Nice. How? Yeah, you actually answered my next question about how do you balance work and family, and you just kind of shared that. Talk about some of the core values you and your wife look to instill into your children as they're growing up.
You know, one of the biggest core values that I've always tried to teach my kids is do unto others as you want unto you. Yeah. That was something my mom and dad always instilled in me as a little kid. And, you know, I just feel like it's just something that's just a common everyday practice that just a good positive way of, you know, treating people. And you put that out there and you, you know, hopefully it comes back to you. You know, not everybody's going to be exactly the way that you are, and you try to just do the best that you can. And, you know, not because somebody may not be nice to you that one day, they may be just having an off day, or they, you know, they maybe have something going on that you just don't know about. But to try not to take it too personally and just try to always be the best person that you can. And I always try to instill my kids always trying to be a gentleman, helping mom get out the door, open the door for mommy, and yes, ma'am, and, you know, yes, sir. And my son does the same thing. And I love it when I see him go over to open the door for my mom, who's now 85, and help her out the car and everything like that. So he's a good boy. And like I said, he's teaching his younger brother to be the same way.
Yeah, man, because of course little brother's going to be watching what the big brother's doing, so well done, man. I love
it.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice. What is one big piece of advice you offer to guys that just found out that they're going to be a dad?
Take a deep breath really quickly. it's okay. You're going to be able to get through it. It's going to be all right. But yeah, no, I always tell, you know, other guys, it's definitely, you know, first of all, I always try to encourage people to make sure they're ready for kids, because it is life changing. Mm. Something that I always feel like, you know, for me, I'm glad me and my wife waited till we were in our mid-30s. A lot of people, you know, do it earlier, and to each his own. But for me, I feel like we had, you know, it was the right timing for me to be ready for it mentally and, you know, physically, financially, everything. And so once you do it, I just say embrace it, take it day by day, enjoy it. It's a ride, it's a roller coaster ride. There's going to be lots of ups and downs. Children definitely teach you to be selfless. This is the biggest thing I learned. Really learn to not expect things to always be exactly the way it's going to be. The children you'll learn really fast that something might happen and you just got to alter your plans and just kind of roll with it. Just, you know, take the time with your kids as much as you can, because it truly does go by fast, as they always say.
Yeah, well said, sir. Thank you very much. All right, now we're going to get into the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie is?
Between two, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and Outsiders.
Oh, nice, man. Love it. This hits close to home for you guys. Favorite family song, or is there a band that you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
Well, it's funny because recently, me and my wife have been listening to a lot of like Pandora Light 70s.
Okay.
It's you know, it's kind of like it's like when you're a little kid, you kind of listen to what your parents listen to. And that kind of, you know, for me, I'm a huge Eagles fan, Christopher Cross, you know, all this that stuff back in the days, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah.
So one of the songs that's kind of been like, we've been playing around, like we keep on joking around, especially in the summertime, is a song called Summer Breeze.
Nice.
And yeah, so like that's you know, believe it or not, that and maybe my kids, besides my music, which they love, like, coincidentally, I'm shocked and love the fact that they do, but
yeah,
you know, one of the songs in the car is Peanut Butter Jelly Time. They love that, that's for sure.
That's awesome, man. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
And we went up to Montana to this unbelievable resort up there in the mountains for Christmas, and had like a white Christmas and a log cabin and this unbelievable resort, a place called Paws Up, that is, I highly recommend to anybody out there. It's just such a magical winter wonderland place.
Nice, man. And this is probably a tough question as well, but you know, the Backstreet Boys have gone everywhere, performed everywhere, but do you have a favorite venue that you performed at, maybe just because of that, like at that time it meant so much to you at a certain venue, or is it kind of tough to say because you've gone everywhere, man?
It is a little tough. I mean, always coming home playing in, you know, the arena back home, especially before they changed this to the new arena in Orlando, playing at the previous one was where I did my high school graduation. So that was an unbelievable experience. But also, you know, out in LA at the Hollywood Bowl, I think is a magical place. But yeah, probably those two places, you know, besides performing over in Europe, are my favorite places.
Very cool. And lastly, what are the three words your kids would use to describe you as a dad?
Loving, sensitive, and fun.
Nice. Great combination right there. People, make sure you follow Howie on Twitter at Howie D and order his album, Which One Am I? You guys are going to love it. Such a family-friendly album. You guys are going to dig it. It comes out July 12th, but pre-order it now. Continued success. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk fatherhood with me, man.
Nah, my pleasure, man. I'm always, like I say, if anybody wants to know any more information, like you say, go to HowieD.net. And it's, you know, it's always fun, exciting things that I'm doing along outside of Backstreet Boys that I can know about. So I appreciate you promoting it, and definitely have to hopefully talk soon.
Yeah, man. Take care.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.